Thank you very much, everybody. I wanted to talk about resource portfolio management and what the concepts were around that and how we really escalate our capabilities around using resource management as a real fundamental capability of the organisation, rather than just something we try to do on the back of a cigarette packet or in Excel. So what I'm going to go through, just give you a quick introduction as to who we are. We'll talk about resource management and the problems, some of the problems associated with resource management. And we'll talk about maybe a move from resource management as it is today to maybe a more holistic view of that in the sort of world of resource portfolio management. We'll get into a bit of a technology demonstration, and I'll show you how some of that can be modelled within a tool, and then we'll look at what you can do next. So in terms of us, we're an organisation that's been focused on process and technology, so it is joining that gap between the process inventory of the organisation and how the organisation wants to operate versus implementing the technology. And we do that across a number of spaces, so everything from sort of change enablement, helping organisations adapt and adopt to new environments and new working practices and new ways of behaving, to strategic planning, strategic delivery, through to the implementation of some of those processes and activities in the technology space, be it a PPM solution like Microsoft Project Server, or as I'm going to talk about and focus on today, an RPM solution like Tempus Resource Management. Some of the organisations we've worked with in the past, everything really from major defence organisations through to very small consulting organisations. So whether it's working with the police or working with a marketing organisation somewhere down in the East Coast, it doesn't really matter. The tools need to be scaled to fit, and if you scale to fit them, make them fit properly, then it will work for all different sizes of organisation. So what do we think the problem is with resource management at the moment? Who recognises or who thinks they might have a problem with resource management? Go on, we've all got a problem with resource management. It's the hardest thing to get right in the organisation. What are those challenges, though? We've got a rapidly changing environment. The external environment to our organisations is changing rapidly. Since the financial crisis, we've got a new norm in terms of how we fund our organisations. We've got a new norm in terms of how we operate. That's leading to changes in strategy, becoming more agile in our strategic approach to our organisations and becoming more agile in our projects and programmes and the way we deliver some of those strategies. What's that leading to, though? It's leading to challenges with changing business context, demand fluctuations. People need different skills at different times. We don't have that steady state organisation, highly planned organisations maybe we did in the 80s, 70s and 80s. We're trying to balance onshore and offshore resources so that, yes, we get the benefits and the advantages of having offshore resources, whether that's through knowledge arbitrage because we've got organisations offshore that have significantly more knowledge than we can acquire in the UK, or because we're actually using cheaper resources offshore. Those resources, though, still have to be managed, and we need to have structures in place that allow them to be managed in an effective way. So we need to balance and have that onshore-offshore ratio correct so that we get the most out of that. We need to optimise costs, and we need to make sure we can actually do and implement the portfolio. So we might have tools that allow us to estimate the strategic advantage of doing one project versus a whole other set of projects, but actually, can we implement them? What's the doability of that portfolio? Just because I can afford to do it doesn't mean I can actually resource doing it. So we need to be able to understand that sort of achievability of the portfolio. It's not just me saying this. Gartner put some questions out a little while ago. What do you want as a portfolio resource manager is an optimised utilisation of the resource you have with just the right commitments. Not too much, not too little. What we've got is a whole tsunami of change, a whole tsunami of projects and programs that are coming through, which are just get it done now. We're trying to be more agile in how we implement our projects, but actually, we just have to get the things done. And we're slicing each person more thinly as we go through. And unless we can find a way of actually modelling some of that and actually being able to undertake some scenario planning and really think through what the overall long-term, medium-term impact on the organisation is. We're going to be struggling as resource and portfolio managers. So how are we currently doing it? Who's got an Excel spreadsheet with lots of resources on it? Yeah. And who of the people that put their hands up has got a project management system in place? So we've got project management systems in place, these enterprise, classical enterprise systems, which are brilliant at managing projects, and they help us with the task management, they help us with some of the resource management on that day-by-day basis. The challenge is actually taking that up to a higher level and being able to model what's happening in the organisation across the whole corporate portfolio or corporate portfolios. And Excel has been the choice tool for many years. It's. I think Microsoft would agree. It's the biggest competitor to any of their project management systems, and it gives us a way of reporting on the data. But it's just not dynamic enough. It's not giving us that ability to say, well, okay, what happens if I change this? What happens if this project slips to the right? What happens if this happens? What happens if all of those things happen at the same time? What's the impact on my resource demand, my resource utilization? So when you're planning for the future, what are we doing? Well, we've got a few tools that help us. We've got some planning systems, which are helping us plan from now to the near future. And we've got timesheets, which are helping us compare actuals with forecasts and giving us some progress information on our project plans. But what happens when the environment changes? What happens when we get into rough seas? What happens when the organisation fundamentally shifts its position? We need a way of understanding that future. And one of the ways that I wanted to propose of doing that is taking some of the strategy tools that organisations already use and actually turning those into tools that we can use at the portfolio and resource management level in our organisations to try and plan a what-if scenario for the future. And in fact, recommendations on this span do something like 4 to 10 scenarios of what you think the future might be, and plan them out and have them ready, and then be able to go back to them, compare them, and understand what's going to happen in your organisation if said event occurs. So what I'm saying with that really is, let's move us from a position of resource management to actually resource portfolio management. What we're doing there is moving resource management from the micro level at the team, so moving away from just me as a resource manager or me as a project or program manager planning the activities for my team, but actually moving into a scenario where we're looking at it far more holistically from the organisation's perspective and over a far longer time frame. So not just a case of what's happening over the next month, the next 6 months even, if your planning horizon is genuinely 6 months. What happens if we want to look over 2, 3, or 5 years? So it's enabling us to ask and answer the what-if questions. What happens if? What happens if? And get those scenario plans actually built within a tool that enables us to change them very quickly. So I can see very instantly what happens if this set of projects moves to the right, or this customer decides not to go ahead with this project, or the business decides to change some of the strategy of the organisation requiring us to implement other projects. Okay, so how do we do that? How do we do it? Forget the tool for a minute. How do we actually implement some of that stuff? So we've got to do this in a reasonably robust way, a reasonably structured way. We start off by defining some scenarios. And I'm going to keep this very simple. This is a very basic scenario. In reality, you'd have far more multivariate problems to address. So I'm going to model the scenario of reducing our IT team. We can then... The problem is, the driver is, we still have to go and deliver the current portfolio with a reduced team. How do I do that in the organisation? Well, the first thing I'm going to do is, what are the scenarios around that? What happens if we have to reduce the pool of IT people by 10%, 20%, 40%? How do I model all of that data and still keep all of my projects running, all of my programmes running? Sort of the fourth thing you would do is review the impact and update those scenarios as new information becomes available. Those scenarios need to be current. If you know that you're never going to cut by 40%, there's no point in maintaining or updating that scenario. We've got to keep a logical and realistic view of the potential scenarios we might implement. And we need to keep that information current. So always keeping that information current. And then when the worst happens, when something does happen, when a contingent event occurs, we need to implement the scenario and be able to click a button and have that scenario implement for us, not have to go through the painful process of saying, well, the impact of this is we're going to reduce this team. Then we've got to go and replan all of our projects. Actually, if we've got to a position where we are able to do that effectively by pushing a button, then we're in a much clearer position and a much more structured position for taking this forward, taking the scenario forward. Okay, so that's kind of some of the thoughts around it and some of the processes. What I'm going to do now is step into the demonstration of the tool. We'll just scroll through. Okay, so for those of you lucky enough to have a project planning solution available, whether that's Microsoft Project, Project Server, or some other technology, we can import that information into a modelling tool. This modelling tool is called Tempus Resource Management. What it's there for, and what the sort of capabilities it gives us, is the ability to do very basic portfolio management, very basic resource management, resource portfolio management. So I can slide projects across and update all of my resource information on the fly, but working in an abstract model of reality. So I'm not having to have duplicate project databases. I'm not having to work directly on the projects that would impact live items. So for instance, if I've got a project tool where I want to just see what happens if, I have to actually go and change it. So open every project and republish it back to the organization. Whereas in here, what I can do is simply make a change and it will update at the bottom of the screen all of the utilization data and present this heat map. So we have all of that information available straight away. I can look at this in terms of a call map as well. So for instance, who's underutilized? How do I manage underutilization? It's really just an inverse of the heat map, but it's actually just highlighting the key areas where I need to go and make some changes. When I have made changes, I can go and look at a delta view and see specifically before and after views of what has changed from a resource utilization perspective. And if I want to produce the omnipresent graphs that pretty much every organization I've been with has demanded in some shape or form, I can do that at the click of a button. So I don't have to spend 2 or 3 days a week actually trying to aggregate all of my plans together and pull those graphs up. It's simply integrated into your planning approach. And if I really want to get at the underlying data, I can simply click grid and I get the hours, in this case, default hours, but I could also look at the allocation hours to projects or programs. And I can look at that in terms of a base capacity as well. I can look at it in a few different ways. So I can look at the deficit, I can look at the utilization numbers, I can look at the headcounts, or I could look at the cost of implementing those that time. So let's go back to the heat map. So what have we got in here? So this is an aggregation of resource. I can drill into any of these and actually see the resources that are working in that aggregation. So I can see the named resources that underpin it. And I can see what projects they're working on at any particular time. So I can see construction project, automated software installation. Any project that I select in here will automatically be shown in the top corner of the screen. And I could choose to do something with this project. So for instance, I might choose, actually what we're going to do is exclude this from the current portfolio. So all I'm going to do is model what's happening in that project. If I lose that bid, if I lose that project, if the business changes its mind and doesn't want that project implemented anymore, it automatically goes to the top of the screen and you can see where it was, where it is now. And I get an instant impact on my resource utilization. Other sorts of things I can do. I talked about reducing the IT team. I don't think I've got an aggregation of IT team, but let's say we wanted to reduce people in the accountancy team. So I can do that by percentage, and I could say let's have one model that shows what happens if I reduce that team by 20%. So down the bottom here, I've got the current position, and I can click Update Preview. And we'll get an updated view of the impact of that change. I can set a time frame and I can apply that change straight to the tool as soon as I want to. As soon as I click apply, that change will be implemented within the model. So that's one way that I could model each of my 10, 20 or 40% reductions in a team. I could then save this back to my models and create a new model where I showed the impact of a separate figure or a separate scenario. The reality is, though, you're probably working one model until you've got the impact of your multiple changes. Okay. So up here, as I said, I've got my projects, and I could make a set of changes to these. So one change I might make would be to split the project in two. So we're going to deliver this over multiple parts. I've got my tasks in here, and so this is the task from the construction safety project. And what it's doing, it's allowing me to move this bar and create, say, two phases out of a single project and see the impact of that. It's telling me I've got two conflicts, so I've got tasks that are spread over both phases. So I just need to find those. Move that to the left. And if I could, I would move that one out as well. Whilst I'm in here, actually, what I can do is I can change the lengths of tasks as well. So I can change when tasks are going to happen, how long they are. And that is updating all of that grid information. So it's updating the utilization on a day-by-day basis of resources in real time. So it's not a case of having to go back to my plans, each project manager, each department, to update all of that data. It's actually doing it in real time for you. So that would create two separate projects. I could save that back to the organization and then maybe move phase two out by 6 months, 12 months, whatever it was doing. So that's one of the sorts of modeling scenarios I can use. If I go back here, we talked about excluding projects from the portfolio. I can also lock projects, and I could look at an opportunity map. So I could get the tool to tell me when the best time to implement this project is. And what it's doing is it's matching the resource availability with the resource demand for that project and finding the best timeline within the model's time horizon to actually go and do that project. Just let that calculate. So what it's saying, actually, I've got very few opportunities on this project. If I'm prepared to live with an 8.3% availability of resources, which you would never do in reality, hopefully, you could implement it over these timeframes. I can fiddle with this percentage, so I could take this percentage down. So if I was prepared to live with an even lower percentage, I get more options. And if I actually said no, I want to be able to implement it, you can see there are actually no options for implementing it in a realistic timeframe. So the thing that really gives you is the ability to push back on people that are asking you to get work done now and say, well, there is no available resource given the portfolio of work we've got to implement. So, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to pre-prioritise your projects? Do you want to move to a position where actually we're not going to do this work within this time frame and move that project out to a later time frame? Ultimately, it's a business decision to make. So let's put this back down to whatever it was, 7 or 8%. I can drill into any of these options at any point, and I get a view of what the resource allocation for this project over that time frame looks like. So I can see very clearly that I've got problems with my product engineer, I've got problems with my sponsors, I've got problems with all the resource, and you can see how many hours over-allocated they are very quickly. So it's giving you a tool to actually make some judgments about the organisation. So that's the opportunity map. Okay, so we can change the constraints of projects, so we can set project constraints. So whatever the opportunity map was doing would work within those constraints, or whatever changes I was going to make with my tool, it would work within those constraints. I can set a project start date. dragging projects around is all very good for a demo, but the reality is you want to set a specific start date, it's quite difficult to achieve. And I can expand and contract projects as well. So at any point, I can say, well, this project is actually going to run over a much shorter time frame and will increase the resource demand percentage-wise per day across that project if I decrease it. Or I can increase the duration of that project and we'll do less work per day. Okay. So all very well and good. What about the resources though? Can we change resources around? So I can go into the resource side of the tool and look at that, say, let's look at that by project. Once I've found the project I want to do something with, I can go into that and I can find a resource that is assigned to a particular task. I select that task, I can see when it's going to run. And actually I can make some changes. I'm going to select this one down here. And I can make some changes to that task very quickly and model the impact of changing who's going to implement that particular piece of work. So I can select an attribute for aggregating the resource. And then I can say, well, currently it's assigned to an analyst. Actually, I'm going to assign it to three resources rather than just one. Apply that change. Now what it's doing is saying, well, do you want me to just divide that ratio, that person hours by three, or do you want me to actually, go in and put specific amounts of time for each person on that task? And it's just going to divide that by three and assign the work to each of those other resources. So we've got some changes in terms of the people that are doing the work as well. Okay. So if I go back to here, we talked about having multi changes in a project as well, in a portfolio or a model. So actually what I can do here is say, well, what's the impact of doing this and this and this? So I can simply select a change I want to make, whether it's a project or a resource, put in the action, so maybe particular project name, tell the tool what I want to do. Oops. Tell the tool specifically what I want to do, so whether it's shift right or shift left or any other particular change. Say how many days, and I can implement that change at the same time as many other changes across the portfolio. And you instantly get an update in terms of the resource utilization again back into the grid. I can get a preview of that information before I go in and actually apply it to the model. And then when I'm happy with it, I can go in and apply it directly to the model. So that's a lot of the capability and functionality within here. The last thing just to say is we can group projects as well. So we can group projects, for instance, by customer. If there's any data in there. What I can do if I group a project and find a grouping that's going to work is you can then apply most of the analysis that you can do for a project to a whole set of projects. So for instance, if a customer is going to cancel a series of projects or move a series of projects to the right, you can actually do that in one move rather than have to go and find each individual project that you're going to implement. So for instance, I've got projects grouped here by project department. So if we have a part of the business that is going to change fundamentally all of its projects in one go, I can do that. For instance, at the moment, we've excluded the legal project. I could recall that back into the model. And we can see the impact again on that change. I could go into operations and equally do the same, exclude that, cancel all of the projects that are within that aggregation in one hit. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to step out of the model and we'll look at another automated feature that the tool provides. And we'll go into the optimization engine. So what the optimization engine will do is it will enable you to optimize the resource demand across the whole portfolio. So what it's trying to do here for every single project, for every single assignment within those projects, it's trying to optimize the availability versus demand, but it's doing it rather than as we did in the opportunity map, not for one project, but actually for the whole portfolio. And in doing that, what it's trying to achieve is a higher model score. So that the higher this number, essentially the better alignment you have between availability and demand. So if that score goes up, we've made a good decision. You can look at that score both in the model and within the optimization engine. I can control how long I want this optimization to run. So we'll make it fast, and we'll click compute. And what that's doing, as I say, it's trying to match up the resource availability with the resource demand. We won't let it run for the whole time, but just to try and get some scenarios. It's going to give me 5 or 6 scenarios that I could then go and implement, and it will show me the changes that it's recommending based on that alignment of resource and resource demand versus resource availability. So I've cancelled that. You can stop it at any point, and we get a series of options over here, a series of different portfolios, in essence. You can see the model score is 48. In fact, if I implement any of these changes that it's recommending, the model score goes up by 1. Now, we only let it run for a few seconds. Clearly, if you let it run for a few hours, then it's going to make much more of a difference. So I just select the option that I want to look at. And down the bottom here, you will see any changes it's decided to make, highlighted with a black bar, if we can find any. There we go. So we can see that the testing project has been shifted to the right. To enable that model score improvement. Okay, so we can do that. We can set constraints on that. We can lock particular projects if we know we can't move this project. So we can build it as a real simulation. And I can look at this in lots of different ways, whether it's optimal, whether it's a capacity, or whether it's net capacity or allocation. So you can look at the information. Once you've made up your mind, you can then choose to implement and apply that particular scenario, or you can choose a different one and start doing the analysis and seeing what other changes the tool has suggested. Okay. We also get a series of dashboards in the tool. So with all that resource information and the sorts of changes you're making to the tool, you want to be able to get some information and some data out of it. And whilst the tool is fundamentally built around dashboards, they're all active dashboards, so we can actually put data back into them and get new results out, whereas this is really more of the reporting engine that sits on top of the tool. I can look at any of these grids in more detail, so I can look at the top projects in terms of utilization, and I get the number of hours, or I can look at it in terms of money. I can zoom back out of that. Very much like many of the dashboarding tools that you have available. I can change the time frame that we're going to look at it over, so I can scroll this around to meet the time frame that I want. I can shrink this as well, so shrink it down to a month, just give me a short view, and scroll over to any particular period that I want to. So again, all of that model data updates as soon as I make that change. Okay, so that's one dashboard. We can get into the resource analytics side as well. So in the resource analytics, what we're going to see is top utilized projects or top underutilized resources. And we can drill into those items as well. So you get a very clear overview as to what people are, in this case, underallocated, and in this case, overallocated. So I could dive into my analyst and see what the problem is. I can also change the timeline, so we still have the scroller bar at the bottom. So we can dive into one of these dashboards, and I can see, well, actually, I've just not got very much work, but actually the work is all assigned to a single analyst. So probably what I would need to do there then is go in and make some changes in terms of who I'm allocating work to. I've then got the pivot grid. So the pivot grid is allowing me to build a report. And it's essentially similar to what you would do in Microsoft Project Microsoft Excel for building pivot charts. But it's just giving you that dynamic approach within the tool rather than having to export it and do some analysis and put that data back in. So sorts of reports people might create. Let's have a look at projects, project name by the amount of hours allocated to those projects. A very simple report. If I wanted to build that out with a timeline, I can quite simply do that by just adding in time as a dimension. So I might add in years, and I might add in months. So now what we've got is a quick breakdown of project names by utilisation, by allocated hours, by month. And then I can go in and build up that hierarchy. So it doesn't have to be just projects. I can have projects by resource, or resource by project, or resource by department, pretty much any combination. As long as the data's in the tool, pretty much any combination of data you want to be able to pull out. The last sort of dashboard we've got is resource allocation. So this is enabling me to see overall resource allocation to projects, and we can load that report quite quickly. Again, I can control that report by turning items on and off as I need to. I can look at it in terms of a different timeline. I can drill into different aspects of resources and simply just turn things off, turn items off in the report, just to bring it down to a sensible amount of data that I can analyse more easily, and then I just load the report up. Okay, so in terms of the demo, that was pretty much what I wanted to cover. If I just go back to the deck briefly. So the Tempus tool has two ways of getting data into it. Whilst you just saw a modelling tool that was connected up to a project server, pulling data out of project server and enabling all of those updates. Actually, what I can do is connect it up to pretty much any PPM tool that has assignment data in it. I can connect it up to Excel, I can connect it up to Jira, I can connect it up to Microsoft Project Standalone. So if I want to pull in Microsoft Project Plans as well, I have a simple drag and drop interface just to put all of that data in, pull all of the assignment information in. There is also a very basic way of entering project data within the tool. So essentially just creating a resource demand. It's a very simple aspect, but it's enabling people to move a little bit further on that journey. The whole point of the tool is to keep the barriers to entry low. So there's not 100 days worth of consulting that goes with this. It might be 2 or 3 days worth of training to get people up to speed with using the tool effectively, as opposed to spending days and days and days doing configuration. So it will work with whatever tools you've got. Doesn't take much training or configuration. It's pretty simple to implement. And we can connect up to whatever other tools you're using. The other thing just to say on this as well is you can use multiple tools. So if you have multiple implementations of Project Server, multiple departments using standalone Microsoft Project, or indeed Excel, we can drag all of that data in and allow sort of an aggregated view over the whole corporate portfolio. Okay, thank you very much.